The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. Today is Sunday, June 19th, 2011, if you're listening live, and it's not if you're listening to the recording. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. And happy Father's Day to everyone out there, whether you're a father, a grandfather, a stepfather, a foster father, or some other form of father, or whether you simply carry the divine masculine energy, which is every one of us, because this is a day to celebrate that energy. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about a lot of other things that are whirling around in my head right now, and probably a number of things that aren't whirling around that are just going to pop up in the moment. But as usual, to start out here today, I would like to open the door to the community. And so, if you will, join me in taking a few deep breaths and opening up to connect, to feel the energy of the community that's here listening, not only right now live, but also who will be listening through the recording. And for them, this is a live experience. It's a direct experience. And so I would ask that you just take that deep breath and open up your heart, open up your energy field to connect out to the degree that you feel comfortable and safe to feel the others who are creating this community here today. And let's expand that out again and open up to connect once more with our Divine Mother Earth. And since it's Father's Day, and maybe I ought to do this every week, let's open up as well to Heavenly Father, to that divine energy from that direction as well, and breathe into that. And once more, expand out further and connect with all of the angels and guides, all of your spiritual teachers, all of the spiritual teachers who are here helping to co-create this with us today, so that each one of us gets exactly what we need, whether we know it or not, whether we're consciously aware of it in the moment or not. This is created by design as a co-creation of all of us in conjunction with all of those supporters. So open and allow yourself to feel their presence with you as well. And then let's open out to that community of all other light workers, both human and other, who are here at this time in service to the awakening that's taking place on the planet. And breathe into that, because there are far more of us out there than most of us are consciously aware of most of the time. So allow yourself to breathe in and open out and expand into that space. Feels great. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for that. Thank you for joining me in that. One of the things that I do want to touch on here as we start is that idea of community. Because community is about multiple things, but the most important piece, I believe, is about awareness. Because we're always in community, even when we're not feeling that we're in community. For instance, we are in the community of divine energy that is embodied right now in human form. We're always in that community. Doesn't matter if we live in a cave somewhere and never talk to anyone, or if we are the social butterfly who can't not have other people around. It doesn't matter where you might fit from one extreme to the other in terms of your actual interactions with other people, and yet we share that community. And there is the community of all of us who are in male bodies, and there is the community of all who are in female bodies, and there are the communities of all the people that we grew up in the same area with, the same city, the same town. There's the community of alumni, of all the people who went to the same school that we went to, whether we went there at the same time or not. And one way to think about community, which is different than how most of us tend to think of it most of the time, at least from the conversations I've had with others out there. And I know as I started putting this piece in at the beginning of the shows to connect out to the community every week, it came out of those conversations of people not being able to feel or to find their community. And especially the community of light workers, the community of like-minded individuals walking this spiritual path, etc. And I want to bring this piece back around in a different way, because I think the more we become aware of the communities that we're already a part of and consciously choose the levels that we are participating within those communities, the more we get into the practice and the habit of noticing, first of all of the communities that we're in. We are all in the community of light workers. We all are in the community of those walking the spiritual path. We all are in the community of those seeking empowerment, etc. Multiple ways to talk about it. And yet, we want that physical, palpable, direct community. And I'm reminded of the truth that everything that is outside of us, so to speak, everything we perceive as outside of our own physical reality, outside of our body, outside of our emotional experience, outside of our head or wherever our thoughts exist, that is a reflection of what's going on inside. And so that's why I want to bring this beginning each week, to connect with the community and experience it as an internal thing rather than as something outside where we're looking for friends to have coffee with or talk with. And it's not that that's bad, but it's one of those places where it's very easy to get manifestation inside out. And the more we understand that what we experience internally is what manifests that external, the better able we're going to be to create the external experience. But it always starts with the internal experience. It always starts with, well, what are we choosing to experience internally? And so for those of us who would like to expand our community in that external form, it's important to come back around to reminding ourselves of the communities that we're already in, because we are. We're a part of so many different things already. Even the one living in the cave is a part of the community of those living in caves, doing the monastic kind of life, etc. And the more we feel that, the more then we can consciously choose to manifest the new pieces of our community more consciously and more directly. And so, not sure why that wasn't on my list of things. Community was on my list to talk about, but that certainly was not where I thought I would be coming at it from today. But I just wanted to bring that piece together, because it's so important. It seems to be so prevalent right now that everyone is trying to find their community. And this, to me, is where it needs to start, at that internal aspect of recognizing and connecting to all the communities we have and embracing them, or clarifying, I choose to participate with this community of alumni from my school in this way, which may well be not directly at all. Or it may be to organize the class reunion. It doesn't matter what the level is. What matters is how consciously you choose it and how consciously you choose to participate within the community of your blood family, to whatever degree you might have that. How are you connecting with them? How are you interacting with them? And most importantly, how consciously are you choosing those levels of interaction? And so it's that choice that makes the difference. It's that choice of how to participate. Rather than sitting in the experience of separation, which I've probably said it before. I know I say it all the time. Whether it's made it onto the show or not, I don't know. But we only have one issue being in body. Only one. Every other problem, every other difficulty, every other thing we'd like to change comes out of this one issue. And that is that we agreed coming into form, coming into body, coming into live on earth at this time, we agreed to experience separation from our divinity. We're not actually separate, but we chose to experience what it was like to be separate. And that's the core, I don't even want to go and say illusion, because that diminishes the fact that it is actually our experience. And we can't pretend our way out of it. In fact, one of the greatest teachings I ever received through the channeling, through my own inner work, had to do with, this particular phrase is a simplification of it. Sometimes the only way out is through. And I know I've since heard that in other places and with other meanings, but what I understand that to mean and why it had such a strong, profound impact on me is that, it comes and connects with another of the things that I believe to be a core truth here, which is that all of that idea about we're here to learn, we're here to evolve our souls, we're here to clear our karma, all of those things are third, fourth level of purpose why we're here. And our first level of purpose is just to be the nerve endings of God, to be the points of experience through which the all experiences the all. And coming back around to the opening related to community in particular, is the idea that we need to step into the experience of whatever we're having right now and stop resisting it. It's the resistance that holds those pieces in place that we want to change, those pieces in place that we'd like to get rid of, because we are trying to not experience the separation, we actually lock the experience of separation in place. Because we are frustrated by not feeling and connecting with our community, and we focus on that, we focus on the frustration, we focus on the search that is the problem, the search that is coming up empty, that is resisting the experience of, I don't feel like I have community. It's okay in the moment to not feel like you have community. It's actually okay and empowering to acknowledge that you feel alone, that you feel lonely, that you feel lost when you do feel those things. Because when you feel them, when you allow yourself to acknowledge, I really feel this way right now, that's when it changes. When we stop fighting with it, that's when it can move through and out. And so, sometimes the only way out is through. In truth, that's every single moment. We get out of this moment when we allow ourselves to experience it fully. And until then, we have this big bag, our baggage that we carry around with us. The baggage we carry around with us is the collection of all the previous moments that we didn't allow ourselves to fully experience. That's what we carry around with us. And the more of it we carry around, the harder it is to be present right now. But that choice to choose to be present and experience whatever this moment brings, I believe that's why being in the moment is the core teaching that is across the planet these days. It's not really explained well very often how it works or why it's important. And I'm sure it's explained fairly well in The Power of Now. I've never read that all the way through, so I don't want to say it's not out there in a very strong way. I know a lot of people have connected with that particular work, but most of what I've heard or seen of it doesn't get to that core point that going into the moment is what releases the past. It's what lets the freedom come. And that's where we need to be. That's where we need to open. So, I'd like to switch gears a little bit, although my guess is we'll come back to some of that as we go on. And for those of you who know me, you know that I read a lot. And I've come across a couple of things that I'd like to share with you guys that I've read recently. One is this amazing quote that, for those who got my email about today's show, this is my new motto. I don't think I had a motto before this, but I'm going to claim this as my motto now because it encompasses so much of what I believe to be important and truthful, and it's simple and concise and it's funny, and I hope you enjoy it even half as much as I do because it just makes me feel wonderful. And here's the quote. And this is from, what's the name of the book? Terminal Freeze by Lincoln Child. And it's kind of an adventure sort of a story. He writes really well, especially when he's co-writing with Douglas Preston. But if you like that sort of thing, he's a good author to go to. Anyway, that's a side note. But the quote, one of his characters in this particular book is a Native American Alaskan and a tribe that I don't even know if it exists or not. So I don't know if this is real in any way or if this is entirely a product of his imagination. But this person is sharing a story about his grandfather who, when they went out on the hunt years before, he was always the one who would bring back the largest, I think walrus is what they said. He would always bring that back and was known for that throughout the tribe. And to do that, he always went the farthest away of any of those who were going on the hunt. He always went down to the deepest, darkest, most dangerous waters. And when his grandson asked him about that, why he did that, he said, well, just going on the hunt itself is dangerous. And now we're getting to the actual quote. If you're going to walk on thin ice, you might as well dance. If you're going to walk on thin ice, you might as well dance. And I just love that. Because, well, it speaks to many things. One, it speaks to the uncertainty of walking the spiritual path. Because as exciting and exhilarating as it can be at times, it often also feels like walking on thin ice. You're treading where there is danger very close by, where at any second, because you're trying to walk in a new direction, in a new way, you're trying to go somewhere you've never gone before, you never know which step might be the one where the ice is too thin and you plunge through. And best case scenario, you get really, really cold and you get out of there. Worst case scenario, you're done. But that's how it feels sometimes to walk this path, that sense of you're out there in uncharted territory and not sure, no matter who your spiritual teachers might be or your guides, no matter what classes you might take or tools you might know on how to meditate or whatever. Part of the nature of the beast is that we're exploring outside of what we know. We're exploring in the wiggle room. And that's got some inherent sense of danger in it, because one of the things that we have built into us, built into certain aspects of our nature, is that survival need. And the survival need, especially at the physical level, would have us choose to do what we've always done because, well, when we did it before, it didn't kill us. And I know I've touched in upon this before, but this quote, this motto just touches in on that. And then the flip side of it, which I find very funny. Don't know if any of you heard it, but the ice cream truck just went by outside here. And the flip side of it, the end of it, if you're going to walk on thin ice, you might as well dance. Embrace, celebrate going out into the new. Embrace taking those steps. Do it fully. Do it with gusto. Do it with passion. Do it with passion. And another thing, again, it's not said directly, but to me it's in the energy, is it's about commitment. If you're going to walk on thin ice, if you're going to tread into the unknown, you're going to be much better off if you actually really commit to do it than if you're hesitating doing it, than if at any moment you're ready to turn around and run back where you came from. Now, that feeling may be very strong in there, that at any second, well, kind of like in the horror movies where around any corner there's likely to be a maniac waiting for you. That fear of the unknown out there may well be very palpable in us. Sometimes this path can seem to be very much a mental exercise. But when we're really moving into the unknown, into unknown experiences, and this is not just doing things outside of ourselves. This is very much what I was talking about before. Going in to allow ourselves to experience things we have been trying not to experience. To experience those things that were so frightening in the past or felt so disempowering in the past that we wouldn't allow ourselves to feel them, which is why they got suppressed, which is why they're in the bag of our baggage, which is why those energies are trying to escape at this moment. But when we can do that and step into those new experiences inside ourselves, we experience ourselves in a new way. And that's when the master comes up. That's when our own mastery comes up. It's when we choose. It's not so much in spite of the fear, because we don't want to just suppress the fear. But again, it's going through the fear. It's saying, all right, fear, I acknowledge this experience. I acknowledge that right now I'm afraid to take this next step. I'm afraid to tell this person what I really feel that it would be good for me to tell them. I acknowledge that I'm afraid in this moment to express myself in this new way with my friend or my family member. I acknowledge that in this moment I feel afraid to do whatever. And so it's not doing it in spite of the fear and suppressing the fear back down and saying, I'm going to force myself to do this. It's saying, all right, fear, I get it. I get it. Part of me is still in that pattern of separation from my divinity where I don't believe I am empowered enough or strong enough or intelligent enough or worthy enough to do this new thing, to express in this new way. I, as the divine chooser of my life, would say otherwise. And so I thank you for coming up to give me the message, to remind me that that piece is still afraid, that piece is still living in separation, in the experience of separation. And in that moment, acknowledging that place that feels separate and acknowledging your power to choose to step through that, into greater empowerment, into greater connection, into more of the moment. And so, if you would, take a deep breath. And that I'm talking about there, that's that energy of commitment. And it's not committing to anyone else. It's not committing to God or Goddess. It's not committing to the environmental movement. It's not committing to anything at the first level other than to yourself. One of the other pieces that unfortunately has gotten tangled up, and I say unfortunately, and again, that always depends on perspective, but unfortunately, for the degree of pain that certainly gets triggered out of this, one of the things that I find to be unfortunate in that particular way is how entangled the idea of service has become with the idea of self-sacrifice. That to walk the spiritual path or to walk a path of service, you have to sacrifice yourself. You have to give to others first. 'Tis better to give than to receive. The golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself. I think that's the golden rule. Maybe it's not. Golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Again, it's about putting others first. It's not bad to treat others well. I highly encourage it. But there's a piece missing there in those kinds of things about the way energy works. And the example that I like to give, because it's just so clear, is a very physical, palpable one. But it applies to every level of energy, and that is this. The basics of it, the basic statement of it, is that you cannot give what you do not have. That's logical. The example I tend to give is if someone comes to you and they wish to borrow a certain sum of money, $1,000, and you don't have two nickels to rub together, you cannot, doesn't matter how much you love them, doesn't matter how much you'd like to help them, doesn't matter how much you desire to live in service and would give for that reason, if you don't have that money, you cannot give it to them. Now, I've had people say, well, I would go help them figure out where to get it, or I would try to go figure out a way for me to get it so I could give it to them, etc. But in those cases, the truth is still, if you don't have it, you can't give it. And when it's something physical like that, or someone wants to borrow your car, and you say, well, it's in the shop, it's broken, you can't borrow it right now because it doesn't work. Those are rather obvious. They make sense. But it makes less sense to people because of what we'd like to believe is true when we speak about that in terms of love. The truth of the matter is, as far as I'm concerned, again, use your own discernment, but the truth of life is this. The truth of love is this. You cannot love another more than you love yourself. It's not possible. Remember, everyone out there in the world and your interactions with them are a reflection of your internal world. The degree to which you love yourself, and for me, the most important aspect of love is acceptance. The most important way to define love is acceptance. The degree to which you accept yourself is the degree to which you're going to love others. The degree to which you don't accept yourself, that degree that you're judging yourself, you're going to judge others at least that much. It's just the way it works. It's the way of energy. Your heart, to whatever degree it's open, is open the same degree for energy to come in and to go out. And that's an important piece to understand when it comes to dismantling this false, I believe, false idea that service and self-sacrifice have to be entwined or have to be the same. I don't believe that's true. A number of years ago, I channeled something that I will never forget. And they called it the Platinum Rule. Golden Rule? See, I have difficulty even remembering it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As I see the problem with the Golden Rule, it's that the parenthetical afterwards, that's implied but never stated, which is this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and they will do it unto you. And so the assumption is, it's almost like a contract. If I'm nice to these people, they're going to be nice to me. And unfortunately, that's not the experience of, quite frankly, anyone I've ever met. It's much different than that. Do unto them in a way of self-sacrifice, and quite often they will do unto you in a way of taking even more from you. They'll take as much from you as you are willing and able to give. And I don't believe that's about being cynical. I don't think it is. But it is about a way in which we tend to get disillusioned quite easily, because we give and give and give, and yet other people don't necessarily treat us in the same way. And so back to the Platinum Rule, which, again, goes with what I've been talking about here today. The Platinum Rule is this: do unto yourself as you would have others do unto you. Breathe that in. Do unto yourself as you would have others do unto you. Now, how does that feel when you breathe into that? Does that feel good? Does that feel strange? Because again, so much of our culture is about at least paying lip service to the idea that we're supposed to do for others before we do for ourselves. Well, one big aspect of that, again, I put unfortunate in quotes, another unfortunate aspect of that, as far as I'm concerned, is that it's built entirely in lack consciousness. In other words, it's built on the idea, and this goes with, 'tis better to give than to receive, which I'll talk about the paradox of that one in a moment. But it's built upon lack consciousness in that there's not enough to go around. And so in order for me to receive, somebody else has to go without. I don't know about you, when I was a child, I certainly did hear, clean your plate, there's kids starving in wherever it was at the time, China, Africa, wherever. And that's just the epitome of that mindset, that there's not enough to go around, that, you know, I'm being extremely selfish if I don't eat these peas because somebody else is going without for me to have them. And it certainly is what a lot of us have experienced, that there's not enough to go around. But it's not the truth of divinity. And it's not the truth that we are moving toward, I believe, individually and collectively and as a whole planet. We are moving toward and into that abundance consciousness where there's not only enough to go around, there's more than enough to go around. That we all can and ideally would have all of our desires met. All of them. All of them. And so that brings me back to wanting to address 'tis better to give than to receive. If that's true, well, first of all, since in order to give there has to be a receiver, what does that make the receiver? If it's better to give than to receive, that's the lesser person, the one who's getting whatever's given. They're less good, they're less moral, they're less ethical than the one who's giving something. Well, that seems to be in the equation. Also, if it's better to give than to receive, isn't it the height of selfishness to always give? Because you're never balancing the equation by being the one receiving. You're always giving. Well, lots of givers don't like to hear that. that that's about selfishness, because they think that they're giving unselfishly. Got news for them. Or for you, if you fit in that category. And I certainly have fit in that category in this lifetime, so I'm including myself in this. That is, when you're giving, whatever you're giving for the feeling you're going to get. That's what you get back, unless there's reciprocal giving, like at Christmas or that kind of thing, or birthdays, when you're supposed to give, and therefore, when you receive back, then you have that balancing take place. But when you're giving for the feeling that you're going to get in the process of giving, for that joy. Again, lots of volunteers say, oh, I do it for the joy of it. I'm not doing it for any reason. That is a reason. We're here to experience. You're choosing to experience joy by giving in that way. There's nothing wrong with that. There's only something wrong with that if we're living in the paradigm that it's wrong to be, well, selfish. But I don't even like to use that term because it's so loaded. To me, true selfishness is literally taking something out of someone else's hands and doing it specifically so they can't have it, and only so they can't have it. But ultimately, every time we do something, we're doing it for our own inner experience. And so I don't believe it ever sits at that level. People don't do things at that level where it is what might be pure selfishness of just to take from another person. Because even that, it makes them feel good in some way to take from the other person. That's why they're doing it. And take a deep breath. And I want to come back to that quote again, to my new motto. If you're going to walk on thin ice, you might as well dance. So the first piece to touch in on there was about commitment and about choice, about choosing to do it. But within that commitment, is another energy that I want to step in upon, touch in upon, talk about a little bit, which is the energy of passion. Because that's what commitment brings out as far as I'm concerned. When we fully commit ourselves to something, that's when we give our energy completely to it. And so commitment, the choice to commit, the choice to be fully present with something, allows more of our energy to flow into that thing, because we're not getting ready to run away at a moment's notice, because we're saying, okay, I'm in this. I'm going to be fully in it. All in, as they say at the poker table. All in. And that, to me, is what the energy of passion is. Passion is not about a particular type of energy, even, I don't believe. Passion is about volume. It's about how much energy are you allowing to come through. We can all be passionate about many, many things. But how many things are we being passionate about? How many things are we connecting with in that way? How many things are we committing to the experience of? And that's the commitment I'm talking about. Committing to be present with, committing to give our all into that. Well, on another side note, I really don't like the expression give 110%. I have enough mathematical mind left that makes no sense to me. but that's the idea, that you give everything into it. And in doing so, you free yourself to get everything out of it. And that, again, is why this is my new motto. You might as well dance. If you're going to walk on the thin ice, if you're going to choose the path that is unknown for you, then really choose it. Go into it with all of your being so that you can receive as much as possible out of it. Dance it. Celebrate it. Doesn't mean everybody else has to see it. This is about you and your inner experience. But others will feel it. And if you want to find the fastest way to find your communities, the conscious communities that you would like to have, well, commit to opening your passion. Commit to being more present. Commit to discovering what it is you truly love to do, where your passion and your desire meet, where the amount of energy and the focal point of the energy come together. And that is what so many people are ultimately looking for as their purpose. That's where the purpose comes from. It's not what you signed up for. You came in to be a dishwasher or a healer or a cook or an accountant. That's not anybody's purpose. Job description is never purpose as far as I'm concerned. It can be an aspect, an expression of purpose. And again, if you listen every week, you may have heard this before, but even the worst workaholics I've ever met didn't work more than 80 or 100 hours a week. It cannot be your purpose unless it is there every moment of every day, including while you're sleeping. Now, what's that about? Well, as I said, first level of purpose, as far as I'm concerned, the core reason we're here is just for experience. And so when we're sleeping, we're having the experience of sleeping or dreaming or whatever is going on at that time, of being in the body but not in the body, of being in it in a different way than when we're in it consciously, etc. That's our purpose in that moment, is the experience. And so that fits as far as I'm concerned. Whereas there's no job that could fit, because nobody really does their job in their sleep. You may get inspired about your job in your sleep, but you're not actually doing your job in your sleep. And so what this has brought me, and I'm grateful, I'm extremely grateful for the motto, because it just, like I said, it brings me passion. It fires me up. Maybe you can hear it in what I'm saying. Maybe you can't. But that the whole idea of that motto fires me up. And what it has brought me is a whole another level of clarity as well about what I'm here offering through my work. It's not my purpose, but it's the aspect of my purpose coming through my work. And so I'd like to share that with you guys. And I haven't formulated exactly how I'll phrase it. This may become some sort of a mission statement, something like that for my work. But what I'm here to help support is committed, impassioned empowerment. And that, gives me chills to say it. Gives me chills to express it that way. That I'm here to support, whether it's in the radio show, whether it's through some of the groups that I offer, whether it is through an individual session, whether it's through channeling or sound healing or whatever else I might offer. That's what I'm here to do, is to support committed, impassioned empowerment. To support myself and everyone I know into their empowerment through commitment to their passions. And so, thank you for allowing me to share that with you, for allowing me to bring my clarity out and express it more fully. That's me stepping further and further out on the thin ice. The more I go out there, the better I'm able to offer what I'm here to do through the work, the more I can be dancing on the thin ice. And so I want to thank you for helping me to dance. it's a wonderful thing, especially considering, as I did share this story, when I was little and my mom tried to get me to go to dance lessons, and I hid under the bed until they left, refusing to come out, crying and whining and all the rest, because I wasn't ready to be in that particular moment. I wasn't ready to expose myself in that way. And so, I would ask you, are you ready to commit to yourself more fully? And it's okay if in this moment you're not. Are you ready to do that? And then, if the answer is yes for you, within that commitment, are you ready to allow yourself to become impassioned, to become more passionate, more willing to be in the moment with whatever comes in the moment. Are you willing to choose that for yourself? And again, whatever is right for you in this moment is right for you. This isn't a challenge. I'm not going to give you a quiz. I'm not going to call you up and say, hey, are you doing this? But if you are ready, able to say yes to both of those, to the commitment to yourself and to being more present in the moment and impassioning yourself, you will come into your empowerment more smoothly and more directly. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that. And I celebrate that. For those of you who work with me, and maybe this is not something that I always share directly, but every single piece that someone gets, every single bit of healing where they let go of something that they've been holding on to, every single energetic expansion, emotional freedom, intellectual opening, physical healing, I celebrate. I celebrate that because it's amazing to see, and I'm honored to be able to be a part of it, to be able to support it in any way at all. And that only grows in me the longer I do this kind of work, the longer I offer it, that gratitude for it. And that helps to impassion me that much more to continue offering and to expand out the offerings that I put forth in the world. And so that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Last fall, when I ended up having both the opportunity and the grace to move into the 100-year-old parsonage that I'm currently living in, yes, I did get the ironic laughter of spirit. I did get, okay, yes, all right, recommit. New level of stepping out into being a sharer of spirituality and healing. But another thing that came, not specifically as a result of that, but within that time frame, was that idea of commitment and how important that was and how freeing it was. The more I would commit to myself, the more I would be able to be of service. Again, that paradox that is not what we think is the logic. It's not what we've been taught. We've been taught serve others and you give the most. But the more I commit to myself and my path, the better I take care of myself, the better I can serve others because the more I have within me to give. And so that's what this has done for me. It's helped to open me more fully into that work. And so I don't put that forth as what anyone else should do, but I do put it forth as an example of what can be done by making that step to commit to yourself. In this time, I've started the Gateway sessions, which are every full moon and are wonderfully powerful events. And I've started this radio show, which I've received, again, wonderful feedback on that I, again, am so grateful for. I need to stop saying again. and I would love to see everyone that I know walking a path feel that empowered in their work expression, feel that opening, that ongoing opening of the next thing to be excited about, the next thing to share, opening up. It's been marvelous for these last 8 months, 9 months, whatever it's been. And that's this that I'm talking about. And so coming across my new motto has encapsulated that for me. And so I wanted to share that with you guys today. I do want to touch just one more thing specifically about Father's Day and the masculine energy, the divine masculine energy. And I would ask each of us, each of you, to just breathe in to your masculine energy. And when I'm talking about masculine energy, it has nothing to do with male or female. I would look at masculine energy purely as the energy that is the exhalation. It is the out-breath. It is the expression. And the feminine energy is the in-breath. It is the impression. It is the receptivity. It's the energy flowing in. It's just about the direction of the energy flow. But in that sense, it is about action. The masculine energy is about action. It's about that movement outward from the self. And that is very much about that commitment, that energy of commitment. As you commit to yourself, as you open into the passion of your own energetic expression, as you empower yourself, all of those things are about taking the next step. They're about letting yourself move out. They're about exposing the master within. They're about bringing you to the surface. They're about dancing on the thin ice. And so as you breathe in and connect with the divine masculine energy within you, give yourself this opportunity to simply open to do in a more moment-by-moment way. I know that question of purpose haunts a lot of people. What am I supposed to do? But the more you can bring it back to the moment, and as my friend BJ spoke about a number of weeks ago, what's the next single thing for me to do or to know, to be in divine grace? That allows your commitment to not be overwhelming. Because it's not about defining your work for the rest of your life. It's not about defining who you are through your work for the rest of your life. It's about what's the next piece for me to do. What's the next thing for me to express? What's the next thing for me to share? And so I won't exactly leave you with that. There will be a bit of channeling here in a moment. After I do my brief commercial announcement, and the commercial announcement I want to offer actually has to do with this commitment. I'm the sponsor today, but we have the solstice in 2 days, and so that's a time when the light is at its highest in the northern hemisphere, and we have an opportunity here, especially coming from spring into that solstice. We have an opportunity here to amplify, magnify what it is we're seeking to open. So it goes, again, very well with this commitment and the lifting of the energy of your passion and the self-empowerment. And so if you get a hold of me in the next couple days, by the end of Tuesday, so I'll say midnight, but don't call really late. If you want to contact me late on Tuesday for this, send an email. But if you contact me in the next couple of days, what I'm going to do is this. The private sessions, the channeling sessions that I do, typically start at the sliding scale for an hour that starts at 111, and I'm going to drop that price down to 88 at the low end of the scale. I know there are a number of people out there who have financial concerns, I'll say. And so I just want to support that. And if you're willing, if it feels right at this time to step into that, to step forward into your healing process through a session with me in this time frame, then that'd be great. So the session doesn't have to be completed by Tuesday, but contact me by Tuesday. And if we get the session completed even by, say, mid-July, we're still going to be connecting in through the energy of the solstice to amplify the work that's done in the sessions. So anyway, just wanted to offer that out. Now, that brings us to transformation time. And so we will go do the channeling. All of the energetic connections are already made. So I would just have each one of you out there listening, allow yourself to breathe easily and deeply, but don't force it, while I do the toning and bring in whoever from the other realms is here to speak with us here today. So, hmm. Hello, dear ones. This is Katumi, come to be with you today. As we would move forward, we would move within. And so we're going to take you on a little journey, if you will. And this journey is one of self-discovery, but through self-discovery, it is one of discovering your community. And so, we would have you take the deep breath. And as you do so, as you exhale in particular, allow your conscious awareness to focus downward into the earth. Allow your conscious awareness to then, on the inhalation, breathe the mother up into you. Feel her presence. Good. And yet again, reach up with your consciousness to the divine light as you perceive it. On another exhalation, reach up in that way. And then on the inhalation, breathe it down into you. Blend it together. And almost feel it swirling. Almost out of control as these energies dance together within you, as they realign energies within you. There is a growing excitement in this participation, if you will, of these two energies with your energy, of these two polarities with the polarities within you. And give yourself permission to balance within your own energies, to receive the experience of balance within your own energies. And as such, this swirling, twirling within you of these energies dancing together is going to focus itself. But almost as the figure skater who is doing a tight spin, bringing their arms in, it gets more focused, but it spins even faster. As instead of dancing, they are now merging into one divine energy within you. The divine masculine and the divine feminine merging into the transcendent. And as they are spinning into oneness, so they are bringing you into that space as well, into that space of oneness, centering you within yourself. Unifying you within yourself and with them. So even as it unifies the levels that you think of as your human, it also lifts them to a higher experience of the divinity that you are. And feel it spinning even faster, and yet getting more and more focused in the center. And it is quite calm where it is not spinning, because the balance has been amplified, and you are being centered. And now it reaches the point of union fully within you. And as such, it is not that it stops, but the speed increases beyond measurement. It goes past the speed of light, past the speed of perception. And so it seems at that point to be standing still. And that force of energy, that energy of unity, that is now twirling infinitely fast within you. Well, it has its own little big bang. And as such, it explodes into an infinite number of beams of light. And each beam of light is flowing down one of the cords connecting you with those other beings that you are connected to. And so there are cords flowing to family and friends. There are cords flowing to fellow searchers and students. There are cords flowing to light workers and other colleagues. There are cords flowing to your guides and angels. There are cords flowing to everyone you have ever met in this lifetime. There are cords flowing to everyone you have ever met in any lifetime. There are cords flowing to the other aspects of your own oversoul. There are cords flowing to all the aspects of your own monad, the oversoul of oversouls. There are cords flowing, ultimately, to every other aspect of divinity. Feel that expansion. Feel that unity moving in concert, in concerted connection with every other aspect of light in all of creation. And even as that energy is going out from you, from the divinity that you are, so there is divine energy coming down each one of those cords as well, coming back to you. And it is almost like the breath. There is a pulse that flows out and a pulse that flows in. And the energies flowing out and in are dancing, even as the energies that were the divine masculine and feminine were dancing, until they come into a transcendent place where it is as if they are standing still, because they are moving in perfect concert at the speed of infinity. And feel your energies dancing with all the others you are dancing with. You cannot comprehend it mentally. Just let yourself feel it as deeply as you can, open to the experience of it, even into the very cells of the body. And surrender to this divine flow. You in flow with the Mother Earth and the Heavenly Father. You in flow with the divinity within, merged in unity. You in flow with the divinity in all others and in all of the all. Breathe it in and breathe into it. And you can stay there as long as you like. We are going to take our leave, and soon the one we are speaking through will take his leave. But know that our love walks with you, and know that the cord that joins us to each of you is full and flowing, not only now, but always. Namaste, dear ones. Well, thank you, Katumi. And thank you to all of my fellow co-creators, my community of co-creators out there. Thanks for joining me to do that co-creation today. I'm still coming back. I couldn't create this without you. If you weren't there, this would have been a different show today. So thank you for making this what it has been. And Doug, you can go ahead and start those chimes up. Let me know what you think. Slip me an email. Give me a call. You give me an email, I'll put you in the drawing, get you some free work moving forward, if that feels right to you. I'm always open to your feedback, suggestions, comments, questions you'd like me to address on the show, or that you might like them to address in channel, even for future guests. I'll be back again next week, same time, same place. Hope you'll join me again, out there in the truth within. Remember, you never know where this show will go. So, God, Goddess bless you. I hope you have a wonderful week and a wonderful Father's Day. Namaste.